Elizabeth Burke Bryant from Rhode Island Kids Count. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here.
So your organization puts out the most comprehensive data set about the health and well-being of children in Rhode Island anywhere. Your fact book for this year is out now, and I want to bounce around a little bit and ask you about some highlights from the report. You've noted some progress on several indicators, but we're still lagging behind on some. Let's start with poverty. For kids 6 and under, poverty rates have really remained flat. They've hovered around 25% for the past few years. Why haven't we seen that trend improve, and what are the implications?
Well, that is a major indicator. We say that poverty is the number one indicator in our fact book that has 71 different indicators, because poverty makes a difference to child outcomes across the spectrum of health, education, safety, and economic well-being. So you are really hitting on a very important point, which is that we're continuing to report that about 25% of all children under age 6 in Rhode Island live in poverty, which is a family income of about $19,300 for a family of three, which would include a parent and two children, and $24,000 a year for a family of four with two children. That's a very, very low income level in this day and age by anyone's definition. So we've always known in this country that the youngest children are the poorest children. It is a time of life when parents are juggling the needs of young children with the work that they need to be doing. And so it's not just a Rhode Island issue about this issue of young children in poverty. However, it is concerning to see this flatness of this number. We want to be able to see this number come down. What I want to say about sort of when is it going to kick in? When are certain recoveries from the recession going to kick in? There is always a lag time. It is about family income. So as jobs are more available, as pay starts to slightly go up, as things like an increased minimum wage start to take hold, that does start to have an impact on the number of kids in poverty.
And there's good research to show that poverty can have long-lasting effects on children's health, on their educational attainment, and so much more, right?
Yes. You know, as I said, we really focus like a laser beam on the percentage of kids in poverty, because children who live in poverty do worse in terms of educational outcomes, not because they're poor, but because of other issues of access and disparities in education that we can talk about further down the line. Second, children in poverty are more likely to have chronic health conditions. Although the good news there is that Rhode Island has made a major push to make sure that children are covered by high quality health insurance coverage. In terms of safety, they are more likely to be victims of child abuse and neglect. So no matter where we're looking in the fact book, this is a major issue. So that's why we recognize that poverty has an impact on everything else we cover, literally everything else we cover in the fact book.
You touched on health insurance. Let's talk about health indicators for just a little bit. When it comes to health insurance, the good news is that most kids in Rhode Island, more than 96%, are covered by health insurance. That's good news, right? And we have high immunization rates. That is a very good indicator. But one health statistic is really troubling, and we see that is that we see a continued rise in the number of babies born dependent on opioids. Can you talk a little bit about what you found there?
Yes, it is a disturbing trend and one that requires attention. And we know that there are a lot of efforts right now inside and outside of government to try to address this, as well as with our healthcare providers. We are reporting in this fact book that in Rhode Island in 2015, in just that 1 year, 114 babies were diagnosed with neonatal abstinence syndrome, sometimes called NAS, with opioids in their system. Mm-hmm. That's up from 97 babies last year.
Let's talk about child safety a little bit then. This is a perfect segue, I think. The number of child abuse reports called into the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, or DCYF, has gone up. And yet, the number of those reports that DCYF ends up investigating has declined. What do you make of that situation?
There was data that was recently released in the Office of Child Advocate, the Child Advocate's report, And this fact book is coming out just a couple of weeks after the release of that report. We are reporting in the fact book that while the total number of unduplicated child maltreatment reports, you know, including calls to the hotline and other calls, reports of possible child abuse and neglect, those unduplicated child maltreatment reports increased by 4%. But at that same time, during that same 1 year of 2016 compared to 2015, the number of completed investigations decreased by 8%, and the number of indicated or proven investigations of child abuse and neglect decreased by 7%. So what that says to us is that something is out of whack in terms of the percentage of calls going up, the number of calls going up, and the investigations for possible child abuse and neglect that are actually going out and investigating that case. And that all comes down to how is the department assessing risk at the front end of the agency? What are the factors that are taken into account to be able to sort through those reports and say, this is something that really needs a full investigation? And so those risk factors have to include prior history of that family with DCYF. That's a very commonsensical right. indicator of risk.
Let's move on to education. There are some bright points in the statistics about educational attainment for children in Rhode Island. Elizabeth Burke Bryant from Rhode Island Kids Count, we saw some positives in terms of more kids being in preschool and full day kindergarten. We know that leads to better educational outcomes for kids later in life. But what I'm curious about is that we're not seeing really dramatic gains in one important measure, and that is third grade reading proficiency. Can you tell us a little bit about what you make of that?
Well, I think we are tracking this issue closely. We know that that indicator is such a gateway indicator. It is about whether children are going to be successful after third grade or not. So it is the number one predictor of the high school graduation rate. Mm. And so what we are doing is really focusing like a laser beam. So we did see for overall students, a 2-point increase in terms of the percentage of all students reading at grade level. It's actually a rounding number, but it went from 37% to 40%, which is closer to a 3% increase. So 40% of all of Rhode Island students are reading at grade level by the end of third grade. We're about, in terms of the country, ninth in the country. We want to do better than that. That actually sounds better than you would think with only 40%. But it is an issue that is states across the country are really looking at, because overall in the nation, the numbers are so low in terms of the percentage of kids reading at grade level. In the U.S., it's only 35%. So it's really...
That's astounding.
It's really an astounding wake-up call, not just for Rhode Island, but for the country. Now, we were glad to see it bump up a little bit. We have a long way to go with still at 40%, but more and more focus is needed on closing the achievement gap among high-income versus low-income students and kids of color versus white students.
So a lot to digest here in the 23rd Annual Fact Book from Rhode Island Kids Count. Elizabeth Burke Bryant, I want to thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.